Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ready to prioritize yourself? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help bring your glow back. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com. Your best skin awaits.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
And we are back. Another edition of the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. The crew this week, to my left, Chris Ello. Next to him, Braden Soprenant. We welcome back from the long road trip, Tony Gwynn Jr. Hello, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
We got Stephen Woods.
Hi, Ben.
And Matthew Scraby today. Padres, of course, winning two series since we last joined you last Thursday against the Colorado Rockies and the Los Angeles Angels. And guys, we are now officially over one quarter of the way through the Major League Baseball season. The Padres are on pace to win over 100 games this year. Of course, that would be a franchise record. 98 is the current mark. So let's start right there. I think none of us picked a 100-win team when we had the predictions at the beginning of the season. What are the arguments now in favor? Is this a 100-win team? Let's start with Braden today. Is this a 100-win team, Braden, going forward? Do you see any reason why they would be slowing down their pace the rest of the season?
No, I mean, even with, like, you know, the bullpen struggled but then bounced back. The offense, when they went through a struggle, when they get back to full health, they bounce back. I don't think it's a situation where it's going to peter out. So I think they got a really good chance of potentially doing it, which is kind of shocking to me because I thought last year's team was going to be able to maybe make a run at a higher win total than they did compared to this year's team. Going into the season, could you imagine saying, like, oh, they're going to win 100 games? People would look like, get this guy off the air. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I think they might have a decent chance, and we don't even know what's going to happen potentially in July.
Woods, I know you're going to just lower your prediction even more because that's what you do every time things are good.
Yes.
So, what, are they going to crack 70? What are we thinking, 68?
So I started the year at 82. No, 81. 81. There was 81 and 81. And then they got off to the hot start, came back. You asked me to modify, and I said 77. So now I'm going to say 69. 69 wins. This is a 69-win team.
Nice.
No, I want to manage my expectations. They are... I said it last week. I believe in this team. I said it on the roundtable. I believe in this team tenfold what I thought 40 games ago. I really do. They are a delight to watch. They grind. They're resilient. When guys go down, guys step up. It's been really fun. And, you know, it's an impossible question. I would say if they remain semi-healthy, then yes, this could be a 100-win baseball team.
Tony, of course, your dad played for the 98 team that set that franchise record of 98 wins, and that was a really good team with veterans in the lineup, really great pitching led by Kevin Brown and Andy Ashby. But as you kind of compare the two teams then and now, you can look at this team and say they have everything that that 98 team also had. Can they exceed that 98 win total at the end of this year?
I think there's a lot of similarities to that 98 team. But I think the one thing about that 98 team, there really was no one else in the division that was really all that close. And considering how tough this division is, I must say they're going to be short of 100. But that doesn't mean that they can't win the division. Doesn't mean that the season won't be a very successful one. I just think 100 wins in this division would be really tough, considering how, you know, the Giants are playing or have played, and the Diamondbacks playing. Obviously, the Dodgers are doing what they're doing. So I'd say they're just short of it.
Yeah. I mean, can we get Greg Vaughn to hit 50 home runs? If we get Greg Vaughn to hit 50 home runs, I think we can get 100. I think we are.
Chris, obviously, you remember that team in 98, but Tony makes a really good point. Padres still have to play every game left against the Dodgers, every game left against the Diamondbacks, all but two against the Giants. It's a lot of tough games where, hey, if you're going 500 in those games, you're playing really good baseball.
Yeah, I agree with Tony. I don't think they'll make 100. 100 is really special. And this division doesn't lend itself to making 100, but they can win 99 or, you know, break the record. Right. I just think 100 just seems like. But the other thing about the 98 team, I'm sure Tony remembers, and you probably do.
Terrible September.
They were awful in September. Like, they had it locked up to get it 100, and then they couldn't win a game the last few weeks of the season. So, yeah, I think they're going to come up a little short. The 98 team had a left fielder that could hit. I think you mentioned him just a moment ago. So this team has a few things that they're going to have to address moving forward, and they will. And I think they're going to be just as good, you know, in September as they've been right now. But I don't think the schedule lends itself.
We'll get to that left field question in just a second. But, Matt, I want to give you a chance to sound off. I mean, there's a lot of strength on this team top to bottom that you see in a 100-win type team. Can the Padres get there?
You guys, I was going to say yes, but you're right. The division is just too hard, and they're going to be playing a lot of games against really good teams in their own division. And they've already played, what, six against the Rockies, so they don't have that to fall back on anymore. But I think I predicted before the year it was like either 93 or 94 wins, and I was looked at like I was crazy, and I had five heads coming out, you know, because that was not something that people thought was going to happen. But I don't think we thought Manny was going to be this good this early. And I heard you, Tony, and Jesse talking about this the other day. He's coming up on 2,000 hits, and his homer total might start ticking up once he gets to 2,000 hits. Is it really possible that Manny Machado is chasing 2,000 hits? While I mean, he is chasing 2,000 hits, but is it really possible that he could just make it happen like that?
I mean, it seems like it. I mean, ever since that number has been at the forefront of the year, and this is as good of a pure hitting Manny Machado that we've seen here in San Diego.
All right, we'll hold on Manny in a second because I want to get to him as well. But let's talk about left field because it's clearly one of the few areas of concern right now on the roster. The Padres are getting literally the least amount of offensive production out of the left field position in all of Major League Baseball. And I don't think you always all got to meet Jason Hayward, Tony. I'm sure you know him really well. Like the guy, you know, he's giving you some defense, some clubhouse leadership, but the production is simply not there. My prediction this week was that the starting left fielder on August 1st is not currently in the organization. But for now, what would you do with that position? And there's options still in the minor leagues. We've seen most of them already, like Oscar Gonzalez, Tirso Ornelas, Brandon Lockridge got the start yesterday. Tyler Wade's been out there a little bit. Or you can keep going with Jason Hayward and hoping he turns it around. Chris, what would you do at least for the time being, you know, before a massive trade with left field for the Padres?
Yeah, I like what they did last night, giving Hayward a night off to think about it and sit and watch a little bit. And Lockridge came through, you know. I mean, he had a big hit in that ball game. That going from a 2-run lead into a 4-run lead, especially with your bullpen scuffling a little bit, that was a big old hit. So, you know, stay with that. I think you can maybe – I don't know if you can get away with Gavin Sheets in left field on a consistent basis. I think you got to mix and match. You got to hope you get something from Jason Hayward. I do struggle personally with a lineup that at the moment features two kind of automatic outs at the bottom. If you go Jason Hayward and Martin Maldonado, they've been able to overcome it and get enough, but I think over time that's going to cost them. So you hope Jason Hayward picks up. I think he's got another month and a half. I said I'm sure some people would like to say, you know, this is enough, but that's silly. You got to at least go into June, early July. He's a veteran. He deserves that. But then you'll have to address.
Yeah, Brandon Lockridge came through with some insurance. But, Woods, you and I made the point this morning that you don't really want to see Brandon Lockridge in the starting lineup because you're taking away what his real value is, and that's the speed and versatility and defense that he brings you off the bench at the end of games when you actually need them. So what would you do at left field right now?
I mean, I think you have to be looking out there. I think AJ probably is looking, I would guess, you know, to see what's out there. The left fielder tree is not sprouting fruit right now. You can't go out there and pull one out there. It's going to cost you. The mix and match for now is absolutely fine. Great call to put Lockridge out there last night. Clutch hit. I like the player a lot. His value is, like you said, he's in the eighth and ninth inning, defensive replacement, running the bags, getting a bunt down. I mean, that's so valuable to have a guy like that off your bench, can play every outfield position if you need it. I think you have to go get somebody. I do. And as much as I wanted it for Jason Hayward, I think the AB the other night, man, it looked like he was lost. You know, he really, like, jumping at pitches kind of outside the zone. I'm like, he doesn't have much confidence right now. And I can understand why. I want it for him. Believe me, I love the dude. I absolutely love the dude. One of my favorite interviews we've ever done. And I really want it for him. But, hey, man, it comes for all of us at some point.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, you know, patience is always a possibility. There are guys who get off to bad starts for a month and a half and then end up having decent seasons. Do you have that patience in you with Jason Hayward still?
I do, because he's playing good enough defense to make a difference on that end. If he wasn't playing good enough defense, then there's really not a spot for him. But because he is covering left field pretty well, and left field at Petco Park is a tough place to play, I think that he does have a little bit more time because of that. But as Wood said, I love the guy. I don't want to see him go anywhere. I hope he starts hitting, but it's not looking like that. So as long as his defense can outweigh what he's doing at the plate, I think that he'll stay on the team maybe until they make a move.
Save Tony for last year. Braden, get your thoughts on left field for the Padres.
I agree with Chris. I think you just got to keep finding and playing the hot hand, I think, currently with Lockridge, and maybe when you decide to part ways with Hayward, it's Oscar Gonzalez. I think those are your two best options. I agree with you, Ben, though, in the general scheme of things, and I think everybody here agrees that come August, your starting left fielder will probably not be, he's not currently on this particular team. The thing with Jason Hayward, I think he brings a lot of things like behind the scenes that probably help the Padres. I think he contributes in a sense of leading some of the younger guys and teaching some of the younger guys and being a good clubhouse guy. The problem with that is you can't have too many of those guys. And the Padres have a couple of those guys already as part of the roster. So you can't build your team on that, but you know, his best days are past them. Obviously, he had a great career. You know, I'd be shocked if he's still on the team past June or July. But last year, like, David Peralta was on his way for, about to get cut, and he hit a home run against Texas and went on a little bit of a tear. So crazy things can happen. I know we haven't seen that out of Hayward the last couple of years, but I agree with Chris. I think you got to give him at least till June. He deserves that.
I think for me, from a production standpoint, I know that, you know, it was a little up and down. I liked what I saw from Oscar Gonzalez, the swing. I thought it was really close to really getting hot a couple of times. Never quite got there, but yeah, I'd bring him back up. I'd start him more, have a really quick hook defensively when you get leads. You know, you can go with one of your guys, but I don't know, Tony, I value your opinion here and what you're seeing from Jason Hayward. You've seen guys struggle. Yeah. You've seen them pull themselves out of struggles. But at some point in the career, you know, you do have to realize you're not the same player. What are you seeing from him, and what would you do there in left field?
I think every situation is different. The Padres' offense is an offense that can absorb having one, two guys like that in the lineup, as long as they're doing things on the other end. Martin Maldonado, the way he handles the staff and you know what he brings defensively is enough because the Padres' offense is really so dynamic. And so, you know, there's that. In terms of Jason, yeah, he struggled. I don't think there's a – I don't think he would tell you differently. And I think eventually the Padres will address it. But this point in the season is made for guys like Lockridge and Gonzalez and those guys when they had an opportunity. Now, you know, in terms of what's in the minor leagues, those guys have – they were sent down for a reason. So whether, you know, we thought Oscar was swinging the bat well or not, they thought he needed to go down and work on something. And it's incumbent upon those guys to then go down and do what they're supposed to do so that they can get the call up and be ready. And so I have no doubt AJ will address the needs of this team at some point, but it's certainly not going to be in May. And I think as long as this offense continues to put up the type of run totals they can, they probably will let it ride until – you know, there's either a change in that or something becomes available.
You're listening to our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And mentioned Manny Machado earlier. Woods has been on the Manny Machado train since even before the Padres signed him. Even when San Diego wasn't sure about Manny, Woods, you were always sure about Manny. We're seeing a different kind of Manny. 14-game hitting streak, the average 340, way up from his career numbers. The power numbers down, only 3 home runs. The question for the panel, and I'll start with you, what's the best version of Manny Machado? Are we seeing it now? Have we seen it in the past? What's the ideal version of Manny Machado for Steven Woods?
This is it, man. Watching him hit on a nightly basis now is a marvel. And the times that he's tried to go bridge this year have been some of the ugliest swings I've ever seen. The hanger the other night that floated up there, and he, I mean, uncorked one, missed it by foot, and I was like, bro, just get back to doing what you were doing. He probably is dreaming about that pitch, because that's a pitch that he's punished. And you know, man, for whatever reason, like, I watching him hit right now, it's art. I mean, he's like almost 500 in his last 14 games. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, he's not striking out a bunch. Obviously, the defense is always solid. I think this is the best version of Manny Machado. I mean, this is where you can do a lot of damage in a lineup with a guy that's on base 50% of the time right now. I think he's spectacular right now.
Matt, when you're picking up the phones and talking to the Scrivenators, I don't know. It does feel like there's still some fans who have discontent with this version of Manny Machado. He's not hitting for enough power. He's not driving in enough runs. And I keep getting that sense, but I mean, I feel like this is about as good as you can get a player locked in right now, the way he's hitting. It's hard every time off the bat. What more can you ask for?
What do you tell these people about ball right here?
Oh, you don't know ball. You don't know ball. I mean, anybody who's complaining
whatever
about
he
Manny,
says here, they're going to say that he doesn't know ball.
Oh, that's exactly true. But Tony, Chris, and I figured out yesterday during Sports Court that whenever someone tells you that, you have to get them back by proving it to them and then telling them they don't know ball.
Still doesn't work.
It doesn't work. They don't listen. But if you're not a fan of this Manny Machado, then I don't know what you're watching. This is the best Manny Machado that I've seen. And he is, I was telling the guys the other day, he makes it look so easy that it makes it seem like I could go up there and throw the bat out there. And I know Tony's shaking his head.
He's not that good.
But that's how easy he's making it look. And he's taking the ball the opposite way. And he's running the base as well. I don't know who doesn't like this version of Manny Machado.
I wouldn't change a thing. Tony, it's probably one of the hardest things as an athlete is to try to make adjustments when things are going well. I mean, you're probably just trying to keep it where it is as long as possible. So you wouldn't mess with anything right now.
That's the mistake that we all have made, right? Is that, oh, I can make it a little bit better. And then that's when it tanks. And I'm reluctant to say that this is the best version because I'm not sure quite yet what this version is going to look like in the end, right? He's hitting above 330 right now, and I believe that as we get further into the season, these doubles in the gaps are going to start turning into home runs. And so if we get a guy who's got hitting 330 and has 25 homers, and I mean that would be then the best version of Manny Machado we've ever seen. But it's certainly shaping up to look like this is going to be the best version of Manny that we've seen.
I mean, you've seen every AB he's taken this year. Think about all the barrels that he's hit that have been right at the right fielder or right at the left fielder. He is just like his expected batting average is way higher than 340 right now.
To me, those are the two biggest things that watching, you know, the Padres offense this year is that Manny and Toddy are not chasing as much. And so you're seeing the walks a little bit more. And they're just making it – they're making it really tough – particularly Manny on pitchers, because you know there was a thought that they could, you know, come in hard in and then soft away and get him off his game. He's not fishing at none of that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ready to prioritize yourself? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help bring your glow back. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. Your best skin awaits.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Right now,
I'll go a step further, Chris. I'll say, if Manny keeps going like this and just keeps hitting line drive after line drive and finishes with 11 home runs, I still think that would be a fantastic season. If he's hitting 330, 340 with a ton of doubles and, you know, just constantly tormenting opposing pitchers, I don't care what the final home run total is. That's a great baseball player right there.
They still won't give him the gold glove, though.
Which is ridiculous.
They'll find a way to give it to somebody else. I think the best version of Manny Machado still needs to hit a few more home runs. I love this. But we have Luis Arraez in the lineup to hit 340 and get on base and hit singles and doubles. I do think as this season goes along, and I think he'll provide it, but I think you need a little more power. He's the number three, four hitter. You've got to have somebody in the middle of the lineup hitting 25, 30 home runs. Maybe it'll be Jackson Merrill. But I think the better version of Manny hits, hopefully can stay above 300, but gets up closer to his 25 or 30 home run total. I I'm not asking him to change what he's doing now, though, because this is too, you know, been too successful for him. He's on base all four times last night. The line drive he hit up the middle in the first inning, he looked like he could have said to the pitcher, I'm going to hit this line drive off the second base bag, and then just did it. That's how locked in he is.
You know, Braden.
But I think the better version needs a few more homers.
You know, Braden, Chris makes an interesting point. You're getting the only home runs you're really getting are from your leadoff spot, which is not necessarily where you want all your home runs. Everyone else has, you know, three in the rest of the Padres order. Is that, you know, whatever you feel about Manny, you can talk about Manny. Is that a big deficiency in the Padres order that, you know, from two through nine, you have a bunch of three or four home run hitters right now?
I don't think so, and you know, I'm wearing my USD baseball polo, and I've learned a lot of offense, you know, and offensive philosophy through a great mind in Brock Ungerich, who does it at the college level, who was taught by Tony's dad. And, you know, a lot of things that he says is the same stuff that Victor Rodriguez is running of a line drive mentality. And when I've seen that team play at a high level, they're hitting line drives and they're trying to hit the gaps, and those teams usually at some point start to put a bunch of balls over the fence, and it's not like they're trying to hit home runs. It just happens when you continue that philosophy of hitting line drives. So I think over the summertime you're going to get those numbers. I think fans, you know, in this day and age of baseball are thinking about the home runs and everything like that. I mean, you could look at, you know, Ward, who kind of wore us out the last couple of days. I mean, he's hitting .190, but he puts the ball over the fence. I'd rather have the guys that are hitting high averages that eventually are going to get some of those home run numbers. So I like the style of play that the Padres are playing of hitting the gaps, creating pressure, continually putting pressure on the other teams. I think it's a reason why they could get to 100 games, to go back to our first question. And that style of play travels. You're not relying on the big hit. I think if you want to get back to being the home run hitting team and relying on the big hit, look at the 2023 Padres that relied on the big hit. It didn't work out for them in the long run. So it's a little bit different baseball. You got a little Southern California college baseball on a Tuesday night, busting out of Petco Park a lot. But you know what? That style of baseball wins, and there's a lot of teams that are starting to transition back to that level of baseball. In terms of Manny, here's one thing that I've noticed out of Manny Machado that's not on the field. You know, I've been going in the clubhouse since I started working here, you know, last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And Manny is just, to me, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe it's just the days I've caught him, he seems, and this is going to sound dumb, he seems happy. He seems comfortable.
It's not dumb.
He seems happy. You know, I think he loves being a dad. I think he's enjoying that. I think he feels, he seems relaxed. And he's not as, and he hasn't always been like that in San Diego. I've always had to tell people he's matured. He's not as confrontational with the media as he has been in the past. He's been more open to stuff. And, you know, maybe that's just the couple days I've caught him, but I felt like there's a little bit of a change there. You see him, he was arguing about a call earlier in the season, and he ends up having a kind conversation with the home plate umpire. He pats him on the back, and he goes, okay, and he gets satisfied. He gets tossed 4 years ago, early in the game, losing his mind on something. I feel like he's really embraced that veteran leadership role. Again, I don't see him every day like Tony does, but that's kind of the sense I'm getting out of him right now. And I think, honestly, that side, that human side, is really helping him play.
Shameless plug for the Scraby Show tonight, Manny Machado Appreciation Show, and I'm going to go through all of his exit velocities during his 14-game hitting streak. So all of his hits during the 14, because I was looking at it, there's a lot of red numbers in that exit velocity column, so shameless plug.
You know, from what Braden said, would you guys agree that Manny, one of the reasons he's become a better player is because A.J. Preller has surrounded him with better players as well? And I don't intend this as a criticism of Manny, but I don't think he was ever the guy that could be the sole superstar that carried a team. He always was better as a part of an ensemble. Now, you're paying him a lot of money, so people expect you have to be able to carry the team when you're paying that, but I think Manny is always going to be his best when he feels like, hey, just move it line to the next guy, do what I do so well, don't have to be the leader that does everything in the clubhouse for everyone. Tony, do you feel like Manny is better off surrounded by this group in particular?
Yeah, but I mean, who isn't? I think all of the big name stars that we talk about and that we love all that are good, they're all surrounded by other good players. And so I don't think Manny's unique in that standpoint. I do agree that he has matured. And I've said that over the last couple of years, from the time he started till now. I think what also has to be understood is that Manny wasn't from here. The year he came over here, everything is new. And that doesn't just happen overnight. Like, over a year or two, you start to get comfortable with the faces that you see on an everyday basis. You start to get comfortable with the people that you have to have conversations with. And, you know, again, as you get older, these things start to be more, I don't want to say important, but you start to recognize that, you know, the importance of these interactions. And so I'm sure being a father also helps. You know, it's just life, right? And so he's came here as a young man, and he's you know, developing as he grows older, and I think that's what we're seeing.
You know, and Woods, I would say that Manny was never confrontational. Yeah, maybe we were lucky. We've always had a good relationship with him. But I just get the sense that, you know, Manny is a matter of fact kind of guy. He's not going to speak in sound bites that are
easy for cliches,
easy for consumption.
Yeah.
But I've always felt that he was very genuine, very forthright. Yeah. And you can't really ask more of that when you're talking to a player. Just because he's not saying what you expect him or want him to say doesn't mean he's confrontational or bad with the media.
No, I mean, he's always been great to us, for sure. We've had great conversations with him. He's opened up a lot over the last few years. And, you know, the dad thing, I am such a better person as a father than I ever was when I wasn't. A little bit more wise, a little bit less quick to fly off the handle, and have perspective on life and things. But, I mean, watching him every night lately has been – I've always enjoyed watching him. But this has been incredible, man. Just that – that beautiful right side, bam, 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 right in the gap. He's best hitter on the team right now.
Has everybody seen the Manny tries to be a nanny ESPN
commercial? Yeah, of course.
Commercial?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
With the sunglasses?
Yeah, I just think that's kind of what I'm, you know, Manny to a nutshell, but now the mature Manny beyond that.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And I'm not going to go in order. I'm throwing this question out to the group. Anyone feel like jumping in? Because I think six minds are better than one. I know baseball is a crazy sport when weird, unexplainable things happen all the time. Does anyone have any idea how a bullpen can go from the most dominant in baseball by a wide margin for a month and a half, and then have the worst week in franchise history? I mean, not like a bad week, not a, like oh, man, they kind of fell back a little bit. No, it was the worst week of bullpen that the Padres have ever had in their almost 60 years of baseball. And then, fortunately, last night came back and looked just like, you know, the guys beforehand. Is there any? There's no injuries to explain it. I'm scratching my head. That how does that happen?
I mean, few of us on this panel are married. Right? 2 weeks, lights out. This is unbelievable. All of a sudden, one day, that person that you met and married and fell in love with, you look at it and you go, I don't know who you are. I don't know what happened. Bro, bullpens, like marriages, can be very volatile. And at times, it makes no sense. It's inexplicable. And you go, did I just say that, or did I just do that? I've never done that, or why did she do that, right? You know, Jeremiah Estrada leaving his really excellent fastball up that Joe Adell happened to be looking for, keying in on a fastball, eyes up in the zone, looking to do damage. He got ambushed, and then he got ambushed again. Does the next hitter think, oh, he's going to throw the same pitch? No, he's sitting off speed, and he ambushes me. The guy that had hit one home run, I think. It's just volatile. They're volatile, and they always will be volatile. And, you know, again, this is May. I really don't care about a bullpen struggling in May. I need them rounding into form come October. You know, when we just saw a team with just a bullpen win a World Series last, literally just a bullpen. That's when I need these guys to be elite. So get it out of your way. Get it out of the way now. Learn from your mistakes. Sequence better, whatever you want to say. You know, but they're volatile. They really are. And we've been lucky because ours hasn't been outside of a week.
It's almost frightening, Matt, how valuable bullpens are. But, you just don't know. I mean, you mentioned the Dodgers when they beat the Padres in the playoffs and their bullpen was just lights out, then all of a sudden
it wasn't.
Just wasn't.
The next series. Like they looked like they'd never pitched a baseball.
And I don't know, is there anything you can do and try to, I mean, you don't want to overwork them, obviously, throughout the course of the season. You can try to watch innings, but you also want them locked in. I would hate to be the guy, in this case, Mike Shildt and Ruben Diebel and Ben Fritz, who has to try to manage a bullpen over 162 games plus another, you know, maybe 15 to 20 in the postseason.
I think the key thing that the Padres need to do and have done, even through this week, is just keep things consistent and keep guys in their roles and ride the good with the bad. I think what happens to some other teams and other organizations is they overreact to a bad stretch and this guy's now not your closer and that guy's not your eighth inning guy and the guy who's been coming in the fourth inning's coming in the eighth inning. So don't overreact to it. Yeah. Let us overreact to it, but you don't overreact to it. And to try and explain it, I think is just, you know, I don't think I can top Woods's
thank you
explanation. But in baseball terms, I would just tell you that Barry Bonds, no 4 home run games. Babe Ruth, no 4 home run games. Scooter Gennett, 1 4-run home run game. So, that's baseball, I think, I'll say.
My DMs will tell me that they're tipping their pitches or something like that. That's like the new thing, I guess, for people. And, you know, I think a little bit. Oh, maybe a little bit, but Robert Suarez just couldn't throw a strike the other night. That was
command.
Really brutal to watch. But you never really talk about middle relief until they start doing bad things. And so the bullpen is a very thankless job. They could come in, shut it down 10 straight times. Yeah. They blow. They give up a couple runs, and then everybody wants them DFA'd. And I can't do that anymore.
Well, they can't either. There's not those arms sitting out there. They
who's
can't
better?
Do it either.
Right. Yeah. But is the bullpen? I don't know.
Is this almost the best case scenario for a bullpen collapse? You actually won two of the games because you had such a huge lead in Colorado, and you came back and walked off the Angels, and no one really has to feel bad because they all messed up. So no one's sitting there on their island going, God, I'm messing it up for the whole team. Maybe we should make a change. Maybe we need to move Jeremiah or Adam or Suarez or whatever. You don't really have anything to do. You just keep it rolling. And you just thank your lucky stars it didn't cost you 7 losses in a row when they did this.
They went 3-4 during that stretch. Now, one of the games was Kolek's game. But me and Tony discussed this. They should have gone 0-7. So, you know, that's kind of tells you a little bit of how the season's going.
I mean, that was great. Had they gone 0-7, that would have been terrible, but that would have been a part of what it is. I mean, this is, as you guys have all pointed out in different ways, whether we're talking to Babe Ruth 400 game. I mean, the Padres were like the last team on the planet to get a freaking cycle. So, I mean, like, these things happen in baseball. They're not necessarily – there's always a technical reason why, you know, things are happening, but – this is kind of what happens in the game over the course of a season.
Or a marriage.
Bullpen thoughts.
Yeah, bullpen, I mean, it's just, I think it's like any sport. And I said on my show, I mean, sometimes, you know, like in football, your offense is not humming and your defense and special teams got to pick it up and kind of take over for when you go through a little bit of a slump. And I think you're going to see that throughout the entire season. I mean, the beginning part of the year, the bullpen was keeping you in games and where the offense kind of struggled a little bit. So just got to go through cycles. Not that big of a deal. It happens in baseball. And, you know, we'll see if they can make the adjustment. But so far, so good after the one day after the fact.
All right, we're into
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Ready to prioritize yourself? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With 4 skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help bring your glow back. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. Your best skin awaits.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The second half of our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It is pizza royalty. They bring it to you commercial-free every Thursday. And I always like to take a little break somewhere in the middle for our seventh inning stretch, which I'm combining with the Roundtable Draft this week. So it's not only a stretch, it's also a draft. It is Vetter Cup weekend, and of course, grunge legend Eddie Vedder is officially part of the festivities now. So we have a musical seventh inning stretch today, and the draft order is going to be reverse time slot. So Scraby, Chris, Tony, Braden, Woods, Ben from later in the day to earlier in the morning. The question is, you get to pick your favorite best subgenre of rock and roll. So, you know, metal, alt, arena, whatever. What's the best genre of rock and roll? And Matt, you get to lead us off in the draft and reasons why.
You know, I feel sitting next to Woods, who has all the music knowledge in the entire world, I'm just going to say something stupid because I'm not really a music guy, but I will say I do enjoy metal a lot. And I am a big Slipknot. I'm a Pantera guy. Yes. I'm a all of that. Like, if you could scream.
I would have never known.
I've never seen Woods look at you with more respect.
I am now officially a Scravenator. Just now. I am officially. I need a shirt.
Yes, I will get Woods a shirt.
I'm in. I'm all in.
But yeah, metal, for some reason, has always been my thing. I was a little emo kid in high school, and I had the stretched ears in college and all that stuff, but metal just gets me pumped up for some reason.
All right, metal is off the board. You can come up with your own subgenre as well. This is pretty open. Chris, you are next up.
Pretty confident I'm not going to steal anybody's here.
Yacht rock.
You're asking me what kind of rock music I like the best, right? Soft rock.
Soft rock.
Nothing surprised me.
Absolutely.
Barry Manilow.
Give me a couple of artists that you enjoy on the soft rock genre.
Sade.
Ooh.
Tony mentioned Barry Manilow. I don't even know that he's soft rock. I just like the kind of the smooth, easy rock music with, you know, some beat to it, not just, you know, solos. I like some drums and
Journey.
Well, they get even a little
heavy for you.
I mean,
what polar opposites between him and Scraby right now?
If you're talking Journey and Open Arms, or are you talking, you know, Journey with one of their harder rock songs? No, I just like soft rock is my answer. I don't want to go any further there.
All right, next up, Tony. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah, no, I don't have a genre out of rock and roll at all, a subgenre out of rock and roll at all.
None? Not even a little.
Not even a little.
Rap rock?
Is there such a thing?
There is. Okay.
I don't have a subgenre.
You like no rock and roll music?
I mean, there's some songs that I know from, you know, friends that may listen to it, but
country rock's a thing.
What would you listen to before games and stuff? I heard your dad used to hit listening to jazz.
A lot of jazz. I love jazz.
Yep.
Which just depends.
Would make me insane. It just depends on.
It just,
get it. I go nuts. I would absolutely go nuts. I would lose my mind. I think I tried it. Boxy and I tried it one time. I was like, turn this off. I can't do this.
That's funny you said that because when guys used to come work with him, like Ryan Howard and like Justin Upton, I remember they came, he had the jazz just blaring. In their mind, they probably were like, what are we listening to?
Turn this off. I'm getting worse by the minute.
That was his thing. It depends on what I was trying to accomplish. Like if I was trying to like be calm, I'd do some R&B and kind of go that way. Good. Yeah.
That'll work. Yeah.
That's a sub.
But I was very rarely trying to be calm. I was mostly trying to get myself. So it'd be some type of hip hop.
Braden.
Growing up, like alt rock was kind of the what I was into, but that's like, you know, there's like a bunch of different types of alt rock because you can have like kind of the punk level of like Blink 182 and stuff like that. But right now, like, you know, the kind of the country rock is kind of where I'm at, so I'm gonna go with that. Treaty Oak Revival right now is kind of what the band that I've been listening to a lot. They're from Odessa, Texas, and they got some good stuff. I mean, there's a lot of country music now. It's basically like rock and roll because they don't make a lot of that stuff anymore. So
I feel like
I'm gonna
go be
country
from Texas,
rock.
Don't you?
I like the South. Yeah, it's good. Nashville. Like, to me, the music they play, like, the bars on Broadway is, like, a mix of rock and, like, country and stuff like that. So that kind of genre for right now is what I'm into. But Blink-182 is always near and dear to my heart.
Woods, I know you
I got
still,
love for Blink-182.
You have a lot of thoughts on this subject, I'm sure. What's left for you?
20 minutes left.
The floor is yours, my
friend.
Take
us home.
I mean, for me, it just depends on the day. I'll tell you what I've been lately has been... I'd say goth rock.
Goth rock.
Yeah. Kinda,
I'm a Woodsinator.
Kind of gothy.
Woodsinator.
I mean, it's moods, right? It's moods. It's kind of what you need for the day. I always go, Eddie Vedder's coming to town. Pearl Jam changed my life. Got me out of hair metal, which I still love.
Hair metal.
Got me into grunge, and I really went down that rabbit hole for many years. But
do you listen to this goth before you hit the gym? Is that the frame of mind you're trying to be in?
Like it's like I listen to a lot of Smiths and Joy Division. A lot of British bands are in my kind of wheelhouse right now. The Cure, I mean, which is, you know, pretty depressing, but that's who I am. My wife will walk in the morning when I'm getting in the shower, and she'll go, oh, no. And she's in one of those moods. I'm like, don't worry about it. We're just fighting through it. So, but, I mean, I'll also go listen to Skinner and Aerosmith and to almost everything you can listen to except for that jazz. Yes. When I'm hitting, I'm not trying to listen to beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep. Appreciate
when you're walking into a Starbucks.
Crazy.
Well, I go last, and I could say Yacht Rock, which I love, which is similar to Chris's.
I found a band that hits my soft rock that I...
Okay. It kind of does.
Steely Dan. What's hate Steely Dan?
Does he really?
Dan.
Wow!
Steely Dan.
Those are master...
Doobie Brothers.
Masters of their art, Woods.
I've heard all the arguments. I get roasted. Something about the sound of that guy's voice makes the hair on the back of my neck.
So since that's kind of already taken, I'll go with they call it new wave.
New wave rock,
like the '80s. You know, English, like, you know, Cure, English, things you see in '80s, like Cure. Movies, like anything from a soundtrack.
Yeah, from a John Hughes movie. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just love
John
16
Hughes
Candles
movie.
Over here.
Love those sort of things. All right, let's get back to some baseball talk. It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. I can't ignore it. I think Woods would like me to, but the hot button issue in baseball, of course, this week was Rob Manfred lifting the permanently ineligible Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson and others off his banned list. Now, I said on our show, I thought he still has a 0% chance of making the Hall of Fame, that he is still not going to get voted in. I was going to be shocked. Odds makers disagree. I saw one site had him at 83%.
Wow.
To get in the Hall of Fame. So am I wrong about this? Tony, do you think Pete Rose is going to get in the Hall of Fame now that he's off the banned list?
As my good partner Chris schooled me on, odds makers are basically predicting what we think is going to happen. And of course, we think that. But the folks who are voting, I think along with you there, Ben, that I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at the Athletic article that came out yesterday. They interviewed a bunch of guys, different eras, Jim Palmer, Cott. There's so many names that they, and a lot of those guys from that era. Tony La Russa was another one who says he's had conversation with the guys like Stan Musial, guys who were from that era. And there's a lot of hard feelings about what Pete did. And that's not even talking about some of the
other
the things off the field aside from the gambling. And so although he is eligible, I find it hard to believe that he's going to have enough votes to get in.
Chris, I know it's not the baseball writers who will all vote on him. The Eras Committee does usually have a couple of writers on him. But I promise you, everybody who is on that committee, when he comes up for a vote, I believe it's in 2027, they will all have one thing in mind. And part of that will be the image of baseball, what they want to, the protection of the sport, and they all feel strongly and passionately about baseball. And I can't see, if five people vote against Pete Rose in that committee, he will not make the Hall of Fame. I don't see a scenario at all where you get in a room of 16 people and there aren't five heavily anti-Pete Rose people in that room.
Yeah, because you're saying that 11 can be all in for Pete Rose. First, I just want to say that I think that he eventually should just get in. It's time, put all the negative baggage on his plaque and let the people who go to the Hall of Fame forevermore determine what they think of Pete Rose. I cannot help but love watching and thinking of watching him play baseball. And I still wish there was a little more Pete Rose and almost all of the guys I see lazily run down the first baseline in this day and age. That said, he's not going to get in at all, I don't think, on the first ballot in 27. I don't think anybody wants to be responsible for breaking the hearts of so many anti-Pete Rose people by putting him in right away. But I think over time he will get in, yes. Our lifetime, that's a closer call. But I think, yes, eventually they'll finally, just like we never thought they'd never make him eligible again, I think eventually he'll make it.
Braden?
I hate the politics of the Hall of Fame. I think what it is in terms of like a museum standpoint, I'm all in for. I hate these arguments, debates. I feel like the older you get, the more you get into these type of things.
So you're saying I'm really into it?
No, I just know people that are older than you that are super into it, and I don't care, but I don't really care.
What's the debate?
Getting guys in, and like there's always the I don't really care who gets into the Hall of Fame and who doesn't, and that's, I don't know, that's probably a negative attitude. I'm not into Hall of Fames at all. I like the history of it, but I kind of agree with Chris. Like, I feel like, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's like, do you want to, you know, there's some people that have done a lot of bad things in life that are really good at sports. Do you want them representing your sport? And I understand that argument. I understand the argument too of like, well, he was really good at our sport. We can't tell the story of our sport without having him in. I almost feel like you got to be thinking about what he did as the athlete, and then, as Chris said, put in everything that's about his life, as in history of this is what this player was, and let the people decide that go determine their opinions on him. I'm not super into the Hall of Fame. I think you could go either way. I don't have a passionate opinion about it either way. I agree with Chris, though. I think eventually he probably gets in, but I think it's going to be some time. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, let's, again, put everything that he's been accused of doing off the field. He gambled on baseball while he was in the game.
Yes.
And that is like the number one rule, that because here's the real deal. Once we as viewers think that it's not real anymore and that it is, you know, predictable, we lose interest, that the game goes away. And so he did break that rule. Now that he's passed on, though, I think that, you know, he served, in a way, he served his sentence at this point.
The ultimate sentence.
In terms of, you know, what
lifetime
he was able
ban.
To do, right? So
he's lifetime ban from life now, so I mean, no worries.
So I can see the argument that he gets in, but again, those rules are in place for a very specific reason.
And it's not like in this day and age where you can gamble on your phone and you got guys and people are getting popped all over the place right now of gambling on other sports that they're not a part of. He was accused of gambling on games he was a part of,
yes.
Regardless if it was for or against. And that was in a time where it's not like he's just cruising on his phone. I mean, think about the people that he had to be involved with to make this stuff happen. Like, that's it's a little bit different comparison than some of the athletes are getting dinged right
well,
now.
Well, it opens the door for Tucapita Marcano someday, Ben, who is, right.
Braden, you mentioned, you know, tell the history of the sport. I don't have any problem, Matt, with, you know, hey, there's an exhibit on baseball in the 1970s. Of course, you know, Pete Rose is part of that story. You can have memorabilia of Pete Rose and have exhibits that talk about Pete Rose there and what an impact he had on the game.
But does he need a bust?
I'm talking about specifically honoring the man with a bust alongside people like Tony's dad in that same room with those busts. And if it ever got to that point, I would certainly at least hope that that bust includes a really big footnote that describes what Pete Rose did. That we can't just in 80 years when my great-grandkids go to Cooperstown and they look, well, that Pete Rose must have been, wow, hell of a guy, 4,000 whatever hits, and boy, he was amazing. And there's no mention. It's got to be a mention of
there
it.
There has to be a mention. I didn't really know much about Pete Rose growing up, but I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot in the last couple days about Pete Rose. And some of the stuff that he did outside of baseball, dating minors, you know, is not something that I can get behind. And I believe I was trying to look for it on my phone. I couldn't find it, but it, like, the qualifications, you have to be a good person and give back to the community. And I know there's other guys in the Hall of
Fame
that
are good people. And that's the slippery slope, though. And, and that's why it wasn't that I was putting aside what he did.
No, I know.
Because what he did, what he has been accused of doing, you know, I don't think any of us can get behind. But there are guys in there that have done same, if not worse, that are already in the Hall of Fame. So that's why I said you got to kind of remove that stuff and just focus in on the baseball rule that he broke.
I like what Ben said. Have an exhibit of the 70s.
For sure.
Pete Rose is in it. You can explain what happened there. But I don't know that he could be in the same breath as someone like your dad, Tony.
Correct.
Yeah.
He'll never be in that breath.
No, I don't
even if they put his plaque up there.
But that's the thing. They put the plaque up there. Then he's considered one of those guys.
I don't know. O.J. Simpson's plaque is up, or his bust is there, right?
You got to be thinking, like Ben said, like his great-grandkids, right? Like, in the future, these guys are – think about kids now. Kids now don't even know about, like kids I coach in football – they have no idea who Antonio Cromartie was. They have, like, no idea. And he was like, oh, isn't that the dad of the kid that plays at Modern Day? That's what they think of as. right? And so, like, that's just recent history. Think about, like, down the road, they're just going to look, read, and then everything usually at the Hall of Fame is like, look, pro everything that that guy did. So we all have some type of knowledge of him. But in the future, what the Hall of Fame is for, you're going to have people that have zero knowledge about these athletes like us with some of the guys that played in, like, the 1920s.
All right, last thing, and Chris actually sent me this morning, and I don't want to get into necessarily the debate of the numbers, but he said, who's a guy you think should belong in the Hall of Fame that's not? Don't make that argument. I just want you to tell me a player that you absolutely love, like your personal Hall of Famer that you watched. He's not in there now, so you can't pick, like, Tony Gwynn. It's not necessarily your favorite or the best player you ever watched, but someone that is underappreciated for what they did on a baseball field. And Chris, give me an argument, someone that you feel is underappreciated.
I could take the rest of the time by supporting this guy's case. I won't. But I wouldn't have sent you the question if I didn't have an answer. The Hall of Famer that is not actually a Hall of Famer is Steve Garvey. And all you have to do is go back and see what he did with the Dodgers prior to even coming to join the Padres. He's one of the greatest postseason clutch hitters ever. And he was right at the top of the list among his contemporaries. His overall numbers are not the same as guys that came after him. But in the 70s, his numbers are very favorable to the rest of the people he played with.
Tony, who do you think is an underappreciated player that you watched?
You kind of changed my answer when you said the underappreciated part. I would say a guy like Kenny Lofton is a guy, if you go back, you look at his numbers, they were really good, and he was a good postseason performer on top of that. He was one of the best defensive center fielders. He was the last of the true leadoff guys before we kind of have moved off of it. I think that'd probably be the guy I'd choose.
He likes him because Kenny Lofton's like his dad. Kenny Lofton also played point guard.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Arizona.
Woods, I know you appreciate a good baseball player, someone who goes under the radar sometimes.
My first love in baseball was probably Don Mattingly. I just loved Donnie Baseball, man. I love the nickname.
That's my manager.
He was the glove, the power, robbed by injury, his back. He was my first baseball player I absolutely fell in love with and would defend forever. I loved Donnie Baseball. Loved him.
He should be in. No question.
Braden?
I don't think he has Hall of Fame numbers. He had a really good career. I've gotten to know him, over the last couple of years. And I'm going to go with my guy Jermaine Dye. I think Jermaine Dye is I think people forget about him. He was World Series MVP in 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series. Local here to San Diego now. He's a great, great individual, great family. And if you ever talk to Jermaine Dye, for everything that he's accomplished in his life, you would have no idea he played baseball aside from looking at him like, this guy's got to be a pro athlete. He's gigantic. True. But he doesn't talk about it, and he's very humble, really good golfer now. But I think Jermaine Dye's a little undervalued, underutilized.
Matt, you got one for us?
I've been looking.
Yeah.
I've been looking. You know, growing up, I didn't have much of a baseball historian family. It was more football. But just looking through, don't hold me to this. The one name I saw, Tommy John. I mean, there's a surgery named after him, so there you go.
Guy went on ChatGPT.
He did. He went on ChatGPT.
No, it was baseballhistory.com. Stadium Talk.
Hey, Chris and I know you got to be careful with his websites he goes to.
I've heard that before.
I want to pick a Padre. I don't think there's anyone that is not in the Hall of Fame that has anywhere near decent numbers that isn't already there that played for the Padres, but I'll just give it to the Cy Young lefty, Randy Jones. The guts to go up there and throw the ball
65 miles an hour
to major league batters and get him out. His numbers would never get there, but too much fun to just have that kind of career and win a Cy Young Award and have 20 win seasons and just
pitch
throw
two of them.
Slop.
Yeah.
Pitch an hour and a half hitters. Games, man.
Well,
on the
tip
red.
Of the cap to Kyle Hendricks last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he pissed.
How about Barry
well.
Bonds, by the way? Barry Bonds.
That's what
Holy
he
smoke.
Changed. Yeah. That's what was going to be my answer.
He's not underappreciated.
He's not underappreciated.
I was going to say McGuire, but I think he's somewhat similar.
Yeah, then it just gets into a steroid.
That's a steroid.
Should they be in the Hall of Fame or not? I didn't exactly want to go there. All right, we have reached the end of our time. Once again, thanks to our great sponsor, Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. You can check this out if you missed any of it online during the Chris and Gwen program later today. Usually you guys replay it on a Thursday.
Yes, 5 o'clock.
Outstanding, unless you're already listening to it at 5 o'clock. And we will be back next Thursday, see how the Padres do, wrap up the Vetter Cup Series against the Seattle Mariners, and then back on the road again. But for our great panel of Matt Scraby, Stephen Woods, Tony Gwynn, Braden Soprenet, Chris Ello, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.